you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
Hand me the keys, you fucking cocksucker.
Number two, step forward.
Give me the fucking keys, you fucking cocksucker, motherfucker!
Knock it off, get back!
You'll find our snack bar chock full of good things to eat and drink. Tasty, tempting hot dogs, thirst-quenching soft drinks, fresh, crunchy popcorn. You've plenty of time, so visit the snack bar now.
The apocalyptic vision of a criminally insane, charismatic cult leader.
Listen, you fuckers, you screwheads. You're the man who would not take it anymore. Who would not let... Listen, you fuckers, you screwheads. You're the man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the cunts, the dogs, the filth, the shit. Here is someone who stood up.
All I know is this violates every canon of respectable broadcasting.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature. And you will atone.
We have to strike Gaza. Annihilate. Kill. Kill. Annihilate. Kill. Kill. Annihilate. Kill. Kill.
After very careful considerations, sir, I've come to the conclusion that your new defense system sucks.
I'm as mad as hell. They are not very dangerous anymore.
This is Droops.
And this is Obfuscated.
And this is Infonomicon Motherfucking Radio.
Episode 23. Release date, December the 14th, 2004. Welcome to the land of insomnia, caffeine, and nicotine.
Ramen noodles and cigarettes.
Tabasco sauce and soy sauce.
And Obfuscated and Droops. All right.
All right, here we go. So, email. Got any email?
Well, just like I told your ass yesterday, no, I don't have any fucking email.
And neither do I. Get people ordered the keychains, though, right?
Oh, I do have people that are ordering the keychains, and I've got three people's docs. If anyone needs Berserk's real information, just hit me up. And he's getting a little special keychain just for him.
Nude pictures.
Nude pictures of me.
And I'll lock him up, he would care.
Now, why don't you tell everybody why we're late with the show?
Well, it won't be late. It's just...
Well, we're late for Rant Radio, but everyone else can...
Okay, right. Okay. Well, what happened was, as you heard last week, I bought a new computer from that recycling shop, right? And not thinking about it, I went ahead and recorded a show with it. Come to find out that I didn't think about it, the hard drive itself... was 4 gigs, meaning that it was old as fuck. Also meaning that not a good hard drive to be recording on because the seek time sucks ass.
Seek time.
So basically, we have a show that's recorded, and like every like 30 seconds, there's like a 3-second clip off of it because it's trying to catch up with itself.
But that's okay because last night's show was ass. It was complete and utter ass. And this show is going to be so much fucking better.
You know, after you listen to the show, you're going to go, whoa!
Your brain's going to explode. The best thing about the show is that I threw all my articles away. So I'm just like winging it with important information I think everyone should know.
Oh, man, because I got articles and shit.
I have some computer information, some things I wrote down that are a little helpful. So before you listen to the show... go burn yourself a copy of Nopix, boot it onto your computer, or just be chilling with some Linux, and be ready for Droops.
Chilling with the penguin, yo. Anyway.
Anyway with that.
Okay, well, we're going to start off going first, talking about pod thingies.
Can I go first?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Okay, if you go to Walmart, right now, if you are so unfortunate that you have a Walmart near your house, go there Christmas. Go there during Christmas. And there are little guys for Christmas. There's a little penguin wearing a tie. And you can get yourself a really cool, cheap-ass, like, 99-cent coffee mug with a penguin on it.
But that doesn't look nothing like Tux.
But it's a penguin, and it's fucking cool. It's got a tie. It's a Christmas tie. Little orange feet.
But looks all nothing right. like Tux.
It's all I got. Your turn.
Anyway, you've heard us talk in the past about podcasting a little bit, right?
Podcasting.
So within the last week, I went ahead and delved in and went ahead and made an RSS file. And went ahead and did all that, submitted to all the sites and everything. And this is the next thing I'm about to talk about is going to go ahead and go to all the people at the HackerMedia.net site who's doing the if you don't know, HackerMedia is a site that has a bunch of shows that are dedicated to technology, shit like that.
But they run by Kizzle,
the Nizzle, the Fizzle Fizzle. Anyway, he also has a section where basically it's for people who are getting ready to do pilot shows and just one show, you know what I mean? Kind of like a breeding ground for people trying to get stuff started.
Hell yeah.
And a lot of them looking to spread out a little bit and do the podcasting thing. So on the site, within the next couple of days after you're hearing this, you're going to see some new features on the site. One's going to be, you know we have Infonomicon TV. It's right next to that link, and you're going to see something about, it's more of a text files how-to tutorial type of thing that we come up with and we put on the site. Just so what we're doing at the moment, whatever. And one of them is going to be, I was going to talk about the RSS feeds on the show, but I think it's kind of like boring talking about code on a show. So basically I'm going to tell you it's going to be like a how to do an RSS feed. Because I was hoping when I first did to find a generator out there, you know what I mean? Just something I could plug in some information and just automatically generate. But I couldn't find any. So I had to do it by myself, which is not hard at all. It's simple as shit. But for all you not literate in the ways of HTML, which is kind of like a requirement to do this, to understand what's going on, I'm going to put a little how-to, not a big tutorial on it, but a how-to, get you started on that. And also I'm going to put a thing on how to get started podcasting, what sites to submit it to, what's it all about, what it is about. And some programs you can use, like, for instance, all you got to do really is download a program called iPodder. You can get it, what's the name of that site? I think it's iPodder.org. And if you want to get some, start listening to some shows, which there's tons out there about every subject known to man, you can go to podcasting.net.
Is there sexual advice?
I haven't found that yet, but it'd be cool probably to find some.
I'm trying to figure out how to get my wife to have anal sex.
PodcastAlley.com.
And I tried to get her drunk, but that instant no drunk when you try to put the wiener in the ass.
And podcastbunker.com. Those three sites. And also on the next week's show, I'm writing some reviews, and I'm going to talk about some shows that I've been digging on the next episode of Infonomicon. Also, you're going to see on our site, I'm going to put links to the shows we like. The shows I like.
All right.
What's next, man?
Well, since I've been accepted to college.
Again.
For the, eighth time, I'm going to have a 40-minute drive to school every day and then back. And I'm going to be listening to a lot of shows. So, and
on your iPod.
On my iPod.
So you
and
do
at
a
school,
true iPod.
I'll be generating some content for Infonomicon TV. Because I'm going to be learning all about computers and crap.
I'm going to learn about computers and stuff.
I don't know. But all the stuff I have to turn in for school, I'll probably turn into a Infonomicon TV. Because I can't come up with content. Anyway.
Also, I wanted to say this before we go into anything else that has anything to do with the show. Somebody posted on the BenRev forums that about the telephone lines or whatever. But okay, this is how you pronounce it. It's Natchitoches. That's how you pronounce it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Natchitoches Parish?
Yeah.
And that's how you pronounce it. Natchitoches.
Now, in Texas, there's a place called Nacogdoches.
Is
which
it spelled
is totally
different?
It's
spelled different, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's Nacogdoches, and then there's Natchitoches.
Yes.
No, I don't want to go there. Don't like it there. Don't have nothing to do with that.
They have pretty Christmas lights. They have a little river. They put Christmas lights up.
A river runs through it. Anyway, also, some the changes for the show. I've talked about it previously.
Better not pout.
I talked about previously. Number one, no more Shirley Q. And what's the main reason for that, Droops?
We don't want the guy that is Shirley Q. If you haven't looked into it, it's a white guy. Anyway, we don't want that guy suing us.
So we're gonna,
this is our hobby, and I'm not about to get sued over some hobby.
And about having fun, basically, you know.
Yeah.
And what other changes we got going on? Let me see. New opening music, and that's not because we don't like the opening music, and we got permission to use it, right?
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure
I asked. It's all legit. It's just the fact that I know some other people using it also. Some people came before us, and some people came after us, and it's not like I'm going to go out and tell people, you can't use that, that's our music. So it's like
music is for everyone.
That's right, and I think we may need to be more original, and come up with our own shit. So that's gonna be coming soon. Let me see what's going on. Better quality for the show, sound wise,
not content wise.
Yeah, not content wise, because that's gonna stay shit. We're gonna have you noticed if you go to the website we have the dial-up version of the show and our broadband version. Well, we're not going to change the dial-up version. That's going to stay the same. But I'm thinking about bumping it up. Right now it's 18 megs, I think it is. I think with a little bit better quality, I think we could bump it up, you know. 30 megs is not too big of a deal, right?
Make it big.
Make like 120 megs.
We like it big.
You know what? Fuck it. I'm not going to put it as a WAV file, and you all have to download 450 megs.
You can at least, like, zip it for them.
Put that in the podcast. Zip it. They're like, why is it not opening? Oh man. Anyway, what's got going on? Also, we got a phone number you can call because no one's sending us WAV files and them talking, because we would love to hear you all just like bitch. Just record yourself bitching and send it to us. But since no one's going to do that, we have a phone number now, which you're going to be able to see in our content section. Contact section.
3, 2, 1, contact is the re.
And that phone number is going to be 206-337-1628. That's 206-337-1628.
I've had a lot of coffee tonight, and it's not just regular coffee. It's extremely powerful coffee with chicory.
Oh, tree bark.
Which makes it taste bad and make me crazy.
Tastes bad and makes you dick hard, though.
Oh, man, does it make you dick hard?
It's Viagra for geeks. Also, the BBS documentary.
Oh, yeah.
We've talked about that in a passage run by our friend Jason Scott over at textfiles.com. And if you've never heard of textfiles.com, then you should go check it out. Basically, it's a documentary on BBSs, the history of it. It's and if you're into like the history of the internet and shit like that, and if you're a geek, go check it out. It's at bbsdocumentary.com, and it's like, I think it's like a 4-disc set or some shit like that.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Basically, if you want to know the history of shit, go check this out. I'm not sure. It's a relatively good price. I don't remember the price, though. That's the thing. But it's supposed to be coming out late December, early January. But
we're getting a free copy, right?
Shit. We need to start getting promo shit. You know that? Every time we mention a show, we need to get mention anything, we need to start getting promo shit.
Yes, the new HP iPack with the compact flash and SDIO port. It's fucking awesome. HP, you're listening? I need like 3.
I also know a lot of those other podcasts have advertisements.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. Could you imagine us talking about, like, yeah, fuck Steve Ballmer up the fucking ass, and, you know, fuck Bill Gates, and Microsoft
sucks.
He's a doo-doo
head.
And Microsoft sucks. By the way, have you checked out Windows XP? New and improved Windows XP.
Windows XP. Brought to you by the same people that keep bringing you that same shit. Over and over and over.
Yeah, people want us to advertise their shit, I'm sure. But
we could advertise like a tattoo parlor.
Yeah, that's about it.
Or like shitty liquor.
Are you looking to give him that Prince Albert for the Christmas season? Check out Nails and Guns Tattoo Parlor. It can hurt us, and it might hurt you.
You looking to get your clit pierced? Cletus over here knows how to do it. He's had experience on over 3 women.
2 of them died.
Bring your old skank ass down.
Now at Cletus's. Anyway.
So have you been doing anything important this week?
Besides, like, delving into the world of podcasting and checking it out, download. Like, I got, like, in my iPod, or I got, like, I think 30 shows I'm listening to now. Kind of, like, you know, checking them all out, see which ones I like, see which ones I don't like. Doing that whole thing. Basically, pretty much I had to learn about podcasting, you know. It's a pretty small learning curve. It's nothing to learn at all, but it just the whole, like, concept kind of blew my mind. It's just really fucking interesting. And so I've been, like, delving into all that good shit. Submitting our show to a bunch of shit, which actually helped boost our ratings. We're now at 5.3. But, yeah, it helped boost our download.
How many people have downloaded the show this month?
5,382.
Yeah, the real number is?
420.
420?
420.
For just last week's episode has been downloaded 420 times.
Which, for us, that's a big deal.
That's a big fucking deal.
We can't get people to listen to the show if we gave it to them in a box of candy.
I don't know that many people that I like.
also, I'm in a market for a KVM switch. And I'm going to go ahead. I know most people, like 99% of people know what that is, but why don't you go ahead and explain what that is to people?
KVM stands for keyboard, mouse, and video.
Keyboard, video, mouse.
Whatever. Pretty much, it's just a little box. You plug your mouse, your keyboard, and your monitor into it, and then you can plug multiple computers into it. And then you hit a button, and it'll switch between the computers so that you don't have to have 8 monitors for 8 computers.
It's basically it's really used for mainly for large computer systems that are like in the place I used to work at. We used to build like an order for like 300, 400 computers, and we need to put Windows XP and certain programs on each one of them. You know, you can't do that individually. That'd take fucking forever. So, of course, you know, you kind of pretty much ghost them on there. All of them at the same time, which is what KVM switch helps do. But also geeks use them because they, you know, want to run multiple operating systems. You know, you got your Linux box, Novell box, Windows box, you know, run a few other services or whatever. And you don't want to have, like, you have 6 computers. You don't want to have 6 fucking monitors on your desk. It's a pain in the ass. But basically, I'm bringing this up because I'm in the market for one right now, and I was wanting to see, I know a lot of people listening to the show have them all set up and everything. I was wondering, you know, what's the most compatible all the operating systems? Which ones have you had the least amount of problems with?
He wants to switch back to Linux with it and have the middle button on his mouse work.
I don't really care about that, but it would be nice to have all functionality of my equipment.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody has used Novell with it, maybe. The 3 main ones I'm really right now is Novell, Linux, and Windows. I'm not worried about Windows because anything will work with that. Supposedly. Supposedly. As the documentation says. The EULA said.
Whew.
Also, the person who won the contest a few weeks ago, Redneck Geek, I lost your, like, address and your email address and all information contained to anything. So, dude, if you listen to this show, email me back with your information and shit so we can get those shirts out coming out to you. And how's that going, actually?
Oh, Pixel Fiend, if you're listening, I need some shirts. I'm going to send you an email later.
I'm glad I brought that up.
I'm a little lazy with everything, but I've been really busy around my house. Like, I've spent more time recording the show this week than I've done anything else with the computer. And usually I spend like 4 or 5 hours a day on the computer.
And
but soon I'm to have a deck with a bar. It's going to be cool.
Okay, there's another show. It's recorded by Berserk. And what's that? How you pronounce that dude's name?
Shedda.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, that's how I pronounce it.
Well, they got a show out. It's called Under Fire Radio. And you can catch that at... Where's the Earl at?
HackerMedia.net actually has it.
No, it's Elite Geeks. That's Elite spelled right. Elitegeeks.info/Under Fire. Under Fire Radio.
Hmm.
Maybe we should get some promo shit from them now.
What are they up to? Episode 1?
The pilot episode. They just did the pilot episode. came out pretty good. They used the on our first I think 10 episode we used that that Radio Shack thing that plugged your cell phone into your computer.
Yeah,
and it came out pretty decent.
Excellent.
So that works. So everybody get that. So what you had some things going on. Oh yeah, BIOS. We talked about last time. Talk about B-bits and shit like that.
Okay. All right. BIOS, I wrote down a couple things I wanted to say about it real quick. BIOS was built ground up as a media operating system. It's not backwards compatible, so you're not having to worry about like 20-year-old code when you're recording your radio show. Or whatever. BIOS runs on old hardware because it's been dead for a while, but it's really good on audio and video.
How about new hardware?
It runs on new hardware, supposedly, but I've never done it. It's really easy just to shove a shitty old computer and put BIOS on it and then have a really functional computer instead of just an old piece of shit. It has a 64-bit journaling file system, which is really fast for media, so that if you have slow seek times on your 4-gig hard drive, it'll speed it up a little bit.
Owned.
Now, there's some websites to go to find out about BIOS. You used to be able to go to B.com, but B.com is no longer in existence as they kind of went bankrupt. But you can go to bbits.com. It's full of software. There's all kinds of video and games and emulators. And
that's mebits.com.
That's B-E-Bits, B-I-T-S, dot com. B-Bits. Now, there's also bdrivers.com, B-E-drivers.com, and there's all kinds of drivers for BIOS. There's barchives.com, which is actually spelled bearchives.com. And there's software there. And there's biosonline.com, all really good information. At bbits.com, you can actually download the operating system for free.
Which is the last version.
Well, there was the last version released by B, and then there was another version that was released. I'm trying to think what it's called right now.
Well, as you guess, they don't make the operating system anymore.
But they don't make it anymore. There are some companies trying to make it. There's the Open BIOS Project. There's Yellowtab. There's a couple others. Yellowtab's kind of fucked up, as in they're selling the beta copy, and then when the full release version comes out, they're going to sell it.
They're selling beta?
Yeah. Like, if you're the beta tester, you get fucked. You have to buy it again.
Well, how much is it is?
I don't know. I didn't even look. That's just fucked up to me.
Microsoft doesn't even do that, do they?
Uh-uh. Like, Microsoft gave me a copy of a Server 2003 beta.
They're giving Longhorn out to developers, aren't they?
I don't know. I haven't tried to get it yet.
But, yeah, if Microsoft is giving away beta versions of Longhorn, then...
And if you're saying, what's all this shit about BIOS all of a sudden? My mom uses it on her computer. She clicks on her little Mozilla icon, because, yes, Mozilla runs in it. And it, you know, dials up the local bank, whatever, their dial-up shit. And she can get on and check her email, and she can open up any fucking thing she wants. And I guarantee you she's not going to get a virus.
Spyware.
Who's writing spyware for BIOS? Nobody.
Like, and it's point-and-click operating system, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a really pretty GUI. It doesn't crash if you use it not to the extreme. I mean,
and you was telling crashes. And you was telling me about the shell itself.
And the shell is not a real shell, as we're used to, like Bash or anything like that. It's more like a DOS where it's just there. Not a DOS, whatever you call the new one in XP. Command prompt.
Right.
It's just kind of there.
But it functions like a shell. I mean,
but
like
it
Bash.
It functions like a shell, yeah.
It's got, like, you know, you type clear, it clears it out, you know, CD.
Yes.
Right.
And while I was looking into to see the latest version of Mozilla for BIOS, it's mozilla.org/ports/BIOS. But if you leave the BIOS part and just go to ports, it's actually interesting to see what all they have that bastard's been ported over to.
It's been ported to a lot of shit, hadn't it?
Yeah.
Excellent.
All right, buddy.
Also, I want to say Everybody knows I pimp out Netflix, even though I haven't got shit from free from bastards. I should, but I don't. But yeah, I got rid of Netflix. It's a sad day in the world. And the reason is because I freed up. It's only $20 a month. No big deal. It's only $20. But it freed up some money because I'm going to use the money to do some Infonomicon stuff that's going to cost money in the future. I'm not going to mention what I have in mind because I don't want to say something and not come through with it.
Stickers.
And, well, that's not it. I can pull that out of my ass. That's cheap shit. And, so there's some free money to some projects I'm thinking about for Infonomicon. For you Infonomicon X or whatever the fuck you would say.
Infonominox.
Infonominox. I'm a spaceship controller for Infonomicon, reporting for duty. So, yeah, look for some projects in the future. Anyway, back to what we were talking about. Didn't you talk about last episode about the Knoppix Hacks book?
Yes, I purchased this book. It's called Knoppix Hacks. It's from the Hacks series from O'Reilly. And it's very interesting, and I'm going to relate a couple tips to y'all today. That's where I got my content for today's show.
That's all the content you're using?
It's all I got. Because I threw all my articles away. I had some awesome, awesome fucking articles. But they're in the trash.
They sucked. Oh, yeah. Last week you heard us talking about I'm going to call Jack Valenti, our cognac swiggling friend.
Oh, yes.
And we called him up.
We called up Happy Jack.
And we got his voicemail.
And then we're going to tell everybody what his voicemail is.
No, I'm not. I'm not because I want to leave it open so we can call him again.
Oh, come on. Let everyone else have some fun.
Okay, I tell you what. Anyway, for all you freaks out there.
This is Obfuscated's Leet freaking adventure right here.
Yeah, because I'm not a freak in any shape or form. I just called it up and I just guessed.
He's a freak with an F.
I just guessed the fucking code and it worked. Anyway, you call up the Motion Picture Association like you'll hear we're about to do. And when it prompts you, of course, for a voicemail box, you dial 1111.
Ooh, that's Leet.
That is Leet. That's the password to my briefcase. Anyway. Anyway, and here is that.
Droops.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have reached the Motion Picture Association of America. Our switchboard is open Monday through Friday from 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. If you know the extension of the person you are trying to reach, dial it now and hold a moment for connection.
Let's dial it now.
You have reached the voicemail box of Jack Valenti. Please leave a message.
I'll record your message at the tone. When you're finished, hang up or stay on the line for further options.
Go ahead, Droops.
Hey, Mr. Valenti. This here's Droops. I was reading this story about this crazy guy, and when VHS players came out, he said, oh, no, we can't have that, we can't have that. People are going to be stealing movies and shit. And, well, sure enough, the VHS industry sprung off, and that son of a bitch made a lot of money. And so did a lot of other people, and now movies make a lot of money selling these tapes. And now the Internet is here, and now DVDs are here. We need to quit with this region-free junk. It's just silly. If you can't make a movie that someone likes and someone in Japan can, then they should make the money and be able to legally sell their fucking movie. And if I want to watch a DVD on my fucking Linux computer, then you should let me fucking do it without me having to do it illegally. You're a son of a bitch.
Also, I would like to say I think you need to concentrate your efforts more on making a profit from this internet than trying to combat it, because you're going to lose in the long run.
Yeah, I don't buy movies anymore, buddy. So fuck off.
And, well, thank you for your time, Mr. Jack Valenti, and I hope you get our cognac glasses in the mail.
Son of a bitch.
You have a good night. Sleep tight with our money. Thank you.
Bye, baby.
Okay, and that was fun.
Man, you really laid into his ass.
Yeah, whatever. You said you weren't going to curse. You're going to be professional.
I couldn't do it, man. I couldn't. If I ever saw that guy, I'd spit on him.
He'd probably fall down. That fucker's so old.
Like, there's not many people that I just want to spit on a daily basis, but I do. I really
now,
want
we
spit
did
on
call.
Him.
We did call, like we said, Leo Laporte, because Droops had his phone number, right?
Yes.
And we weren't going to curse at Leo, because we love Leo.
Hell yeah. Leo's awesome guy.
And actually, Leo has a podcast.
Yeah, he's got a radio show. It's really good.
Yeah, I've been listening to it. He does the Paul Harvey thing at the beginning. He's like, to the new. I can't do Paul Harvey's voice, but anyway.
Paul Harvey.
News and comment. Good day. Good day. Oh, man. Anyway, but yeah, we actually thought we were going to get through to Leo because we really wanted to talk to Leo. And we got this chick who voicemail, right? So we left a message, and the next day I was at work. I got in my car, and it was a voicemail, and she called me back. So here's the message she left.
You have one saved voice message. To listen to your messages, press 1. First saved voice message.
Hi there, this is Elise, the person you called, and yes, I actually do receive about 10 phone calls for a Leo Laporte every single day. So I unfortunately do not have his number, but I didn't really understand the message you left about screensavers or something of that nature. So yeah, I actually called my phone company and tried to get it switched, but they said there was no reason to, so... Yeah, I just get a lot of phone calls, basically it. If you need to call me back about it, my number here is... Thank you. Bye-bye.
And as you notice, I cut the her phone number out. She repeated back because I'm not going to give her voicemail out. And, yeah, she was really cool with the whole thing. And she does not know
hot.
She is. And because I've been stalking her. And she doesn't... she didn't know what the screensavers were, obviously.
Yeah, whatever. Screensavers, just going downhill.
Well, when they got bought out, that fucking that whole television station sucks now.
Yeah.
So go ahead, man.
Like I said, I got this from the Nopix Hacks book. Let's say you're setting up Slackware on a computer. You don't know
Slack.
You don't know the refresh rates. You don't know. The horizontal sync, whatever crap for your monitor.
But you don't need to know that to install Slack.
Not anymore?
Nope.
You used to.
No, I installed it like 4 times today.
Okay, if you're trying to install an old version of Slackware or another operating system, or, you know, a version of Linux, and you're trying to figure out shit like that for your monitor, your video card, I've always had trouble with that because it's really hard to find that kind of documentation for old shit. Here's an easy trick to get around it. Boot up Nopix. Like most distributions, Nopix actually stores that X, which is like the little GUI, the pretty, what you see, it's all colorful, that config file in the same location that other distributions share it, or store it, excuse me. It's /etc/x11/xf86config-4. And it's a text file, you can open it up with Vi, you can open it with Emacs. And,
Piku,
whatever. And you can get that information straight from there. You can copy this over to another distribution to, have X already set up. But there's a couple problems with that. One of the problems is the default Nopix has a lot of fonts set up in it. And it's going to give you shit if you just copy it straight over. If you're clever, you can just reference this file and get the information that you need to set up old versions of Slackware or whatever. Here's a little hint. It's all done in sections. Sections start with like a piece of hardware name like monitor, and it ends with this crazy, crazy thing called in section. It'll actually say that there.
No shit.
And no shit. And you can use that to reference and get that kind of information so you don't have to spend a long time figuring it out yourself. Because I remember setting up Slackware.
What version were you using?
I don't know. It was old. I was still at military school, and like I never got fucking X to run. I've got it up here.
X didn't come with Slackware back then?
No, it came with... X came with it, but you had to figure out all that horizontal shit, and I didn't understand what that was.
Yeah, if you fucked that up, yeah.
And I was like, this never works. This never works.
Oh, yeah, Slackware is the shit, dude. You don't fuck with the Slack, bitch.
That was my first version of Linux.
It's like, if you're using, like, Slack, there's no need to go anywhere else. Why would you use Red Hat?
Yeah, I don't like Red Hat and SUSE and all that crap.
I've never been a big Debian fan either.
I'm a Debian guy all the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what?
I think I'm going to put Ubuntu on my laptop.
Think so?
Yeah. It's Debian from Africa.
I've heard some good stuff about it.
You turn it on, like speakers on your laptop are thumping. It's cool.
But no, I'm Slack all the way. Like, and I turned to Slack mainly because when I first started using Linux, I started using like everybody else, Red Hat, right?
Yeah.
And how pissed off did I get? This is before I learned about apt-get or whatever. And
RPMs
suck.
Fucking suck. All that dependency shit.
Like, you
that's
know, I went to go install
apt-get. I have to have it.
I forget. I think it was like when I finally got fed up with it was when I was installing Xine. How you pronounce that? X-I-N-E?
Yeah.
Okay. And I went to go install it, and of course I needed like 15,000 dependencies. And when I downloaded it, it said I already had the original version, but it still wouldn't let me install it. And I was going, blah, 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 blah. I was like, fuck you. I'm using Slack. Got on Slack.
Fuck you.
Fuck you in the ass.
Motherfucker.
Anyway, I installed Slack, and like, I was like, oh. Because I've gotten Slack to install on some shit it shouldn't have been installed on.
And if you're wondering what the fuck we're talking about, apt-get is this really awesome thing. You don't have to deal with dependencies anymore in Linux. You just type app-git space install space whatever the fuck you want to install, and then it will go get not only the application, but it will fill all the dependencies for you and install it all for you.
And of course, there's a tool for
and
Slackware.
It's called slapped-git, and there's another one called Soiree.
But it's not installed already on Slackware, at least not my installation. Every installation I've had with 9 and 10 –
mm-hmm.
9.1 and 10. It's not on there. You actually have to go download it.
Well, everybody can install, you know, at least a package, right?
Huh? Right, right. I'm just saying, it's okay. kind of annoying that it's not on there already. That'd be nice to have that on there. So if I had a suggestion to change anything in Slackware, it'd be that to have those things and then at least on there for you to have a chance to install.
Excellent.
Excellent. And where are you getting this crazy colorful information?
What?
Information.
What information?
The Nopics.
I bought a book. It's called Nopic Hacks. We've talked about it before. It's expensive.
It's expensive? It's an O'Reilly book.
It's $30. $30.
Hey, that's cheap. Is it O'Reilly?
It's $30 fucking dollars.
That's cheap for an O'Reilly book.
It's 314 pages.
Have you not bought a computer book in the last 10 years? They're all expensive.
Well, I'm about to buy some school books. They're really fucking expensive.
That's like the two books that are most expensive in the world, like computer books and school books.
Yeah.
Computer books are just overly expensive. I don't know why, but they are.
But I will tell you that every O'Reilly book I ever bought, I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I've never like
they're well worth the money.
I've never complained about actually having to fork up money for O'Reilly books. They're really good. And plus, they got cool covers.
Yeah, this one's got like a old-timey pocket knife.
A pocket knife?
Oh, yeah.
Is it blood on it?
It's a multi-tool, like Nopix.
Ha, 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 ha.
Ha, ha, ha. Go ahead, tool.
Anyway, Bill Clinton helps launch search engine. Former
Let the porn jokes begin.
Because you know he's a elite Google hacksaw.
Britney Spears' breast.
Former President Bill Clinton on Monday helped launch a new internet search company backed by the Chinese government, which says its technology uses artificial intelligence to better produce results than Google. What?
By the Chinese government. Wasn't there some speculation that like he allowed them to sell U.S. secrets to the Chinese government or some shit like that?
And this is a quote. I hope you – this is a quote. Okay. From him. Okay. I hope you all make lots of money, Clinton told executives at the launch of Acuna Corporation, which donated an unenclosed amount to the William J. Clinton Foundation. The Chinese government, one of several large backers, has granted Acuna a 20-year exclusive partnership with the Chinese Daily Information Corporation, the government agency that runs an official Chinese and English website. The deals give Acuna data on some 5 million Chinese companies, which Acuna sees as a lucrative opportunity U.S. businesses seek to do business in China ahead of the 2008 Olympic Games in Beijing. Now, I haven't yet visited Acuna Matata. Let me see. Let me see if this is good, because they say it uses AI, whatever. Fuck, you know, Acuna. I'm like, Acuna and Google brings up.
What's the website?
Acuna.com.
They spell Acuna.
A-C-C-O-O-N-A. Okay. And let's search for Infonomicon, see if we come up on there. Of course we. The thing about this is I don't like. Is
Whoa,
that
it looks just like Google.
It looks just like Google, number one. Number two, it doesn't have, you can't search for pictures.
And so does the results, like the.
The results look just like Google also.
Yeah.
There's no pictures. There's no. One of my favorite things about Google is the fact that it has cached pages. Just in case the page is not existent anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have that. And I've tried. Let me try this. Let me type my name in here. My real name, so I'm not going to give that out. Let me see.
Well, I just typed Droops in there, and the first 10 things are sponsored results. And now the second page is sponsored results.
Yeah, I'm getting that too. I don't like that. Google sponsored results are at the side, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not liking this so much. Like. Yeah.
Page 3 actually starts revealing Acuna results.
Really?
Yeah.
That's stupid. And
if you search for droops on Acuna, like the sixth thing down is why breasts sag and will bras prevent breasts from sagging.
And I've noticed something. The quotes are not working on here. Yeah, it doesn't allow quotes. And that is what I use most of all in Google. Find something, a long string of letters you do to quotes. Yeah. It doesn't use it.
Oh, fuck this shit.
Yeah, so Acuna Matana.
They have Acuna Mail.
Acuna Mail? Really? Where at?
No, I'm just picking.
Oh, okay. Give you one mega disk space.
But you have to type in Chinese.
Anyway. Okay, what else is going on in the world, man?
What else is going on in the world? Well, there's this little utility called Partition Magic. You know what that does?
Oh, geez. Credit thing's been out forever.
And it still costs money.
Lots of it, didn't it?
Lots of it, actually. What's an easy way to get around paying for it? Well, just get it off of Kazaa like everybody fucking else. Or...
We don't support illegal activities on Infonomicon or Associates.
Or you could just use Nopix.
Nopix.
Nopix has a program on it called QT Parted. It's the front end for Parted, which is a partition resizing utility. And the new version of this actually has the ability to resize NTFS, not just like FAT and EXT3 and
now,
all that.
Now, I'm really interested in that. Does it do it successfully? Is there kind of like a, you know, we're not responsible for any damage?
Well, it's always they're not responsible kind of shit.
Right.
But I haven't tried it. I'm going to fuck something up and try it later.
I'm really curious because they used to be a utility. I forgot what it's called back in I first
NTFS resize.
No, there was a utility in Linux back in when I started learning about Linux back in 98. I forget what it's called. But anyway, it was a utility for Windows, and it's for a FAT partition.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposed to resize it, but you know, it was one of those, you know, we strongly urge you not to use this utility, you know. But it worked. I only tried it once. Had somebody else try it. It fucked it up. But yeah, try that out for next week's show and see what happens. Because I'm really curious if it does it successfully. Do it a few times.
Okay. But first, before you do this, it says to defrag the drive.
Okay.
Because as we all know, like, data gets at the end of the drive, shit like that. It says it's got this much free space, but it's, you know, not in sequential order. To get to QT Parted, it's K menu. Go to System, go to QT Parted. You can just choose the drive.
You can
put it
up in a console, couldn't you?
QT Parted is the front end for Parted. You can just console Parted if you wanted.
Right.
If you like typing. But you can choose the drive, you right click on it, you can drag the corner, and then you commit your changes and you're done. And it can erase your data. I mean, just it's dangerous to resize a partition.
Especially a Windows partition, especially an NTFS partition.
Yeah. And we're going to get more into NTFS later, but tell me some news.
You want news?
I want some news. This is a news show, right?
Do you want news?
News for nerds? What?
Anyway, do you know who Robert Evans is?
Couldn't tell you.
Producer guy, did a cartoon.
What cartoon?
I forget that fucking show. I think it was on Comedy Central. The Kid Notorious.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's Robert Evans.
Okay, I know.
Well, except he's old.
About.
That was like a younger version of him. Anyway, he's really old, been known, even though he's like the, like, you know, playboy back in the day. Well, anyway, as Robert Evans' years as Hollywood's boy king resides into history, industry insiders could imagine that he might be grouping for reasons to get out of bed. They need not worry. Mr. Evans, the fabled producer and a man about town, will more likely be enjoying his last gig as a satellite radio talk show host in the comfort of his pajamas. Mr. Evans, 74, said he has signed on to be the anchor of a weekly program, In Bed with Robert Evans, for Sirius Radio subscribers, and plans to broadcast from his home. He will dole out his musings on life, women, and Hollywood. Did we mention women? On special, starting with a special Valentine's Day. That's when he started. This is a quote from him. The things I'm going to say about are not going to be rebroadcast on the Disney Channel, I promise you, Mr. Evans said in an interview. As head of a production at Paramount Pictures in the late 60s and the mid-70s, Mr. Evans revived the studios with a string of classics like Chinatown and The Godfather. These days, the film industry treats Mr. Evans as a camp... let me scroll down a little bit. A campy heirloom of a lost era and does not seem to... doesn't disagree. It basically goes on about the show and everything, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, yeah, why can't we get a show on fucking Sirius? This old bastard gets a show.
I think it's called Sirius.
Cyrus?
Sirius.
It's actually called Sirius? I've heard a lot of people pronounce it Sirius.
But they're all wrong.
Okay. Sirius? Named after the star, huh?
Yeah?
Okay, that's what I figured. Anyway, Sirius. And why can't we get a fucking show on there? We curse a lot. We talk about fucking...
We have sex.
You do.
Well,
I just get lots of blowjobs. I can't convince anybody to commit.
See, I could never get the blowjob. It was always the girl wanted to commit, and I'm like, lick it. And she's like,
Touch it a little bit.
She's like, no, don't think so.
I think my penis has more pheromones than I do.
Excellent, Robert Evans. All right. Like I said, we'd be talking about NTFS, which new technology file system is what I like to call it. With Linux, you can read NTFS. Like if you have a computer that's booting Windows and Linux, a lot of people have a little fat 32 partition that they can use to share things that, you know, Windows can read it, Linux can read it kind of thing. They can both write it.
Linux can read NTFS.
Well, Linux can't write to NTFS, right?
That's correct, and I found
that
out.
That is wrong.
That's wrong?
That is fucking wrong. Now, granted, NTFS is hard to write to. Microsoft has the closed specifications on that. And people that want to reverse engineer NTFS have quite the trouble doing so. But Nopix 3.4 comes with a thing that's it's still experimental. It's not set in stone works, but it's definitely a step forward. It's called Captive NTFS. To get to it, Nopix, it's K-Menu, Nopix Utilities Captive NTFS. It opens up a wizard, and it actually uses the NTFS DLLs from Windows.
Huh.
Huh. Now, if you click this wizard a couple times and click it forward, it'll look on your computer for them. If you just happen to have the NTFS DLLs on your computer, like you have another partition with Windows.
Do you have a mount this drive?
Well, not yet. Don't mount it yet. But
don't mount it.
Well, run that wizard. And if it doesn't, if you don't have the DLLs on your computer, it'll get them from Service Pack 1 on the internet.
No shit.
Now, granted, this might be slightly illegal in the U.S. of A., but it's your computer. You do the fuck you want.
That's too fucking cool, dude. What version of Canopix? Is this like the newest version of Canopix?
Yes, Canopix, it's 3.4. The 3.4 version.
You know what pisses me off? The only only time I try Canopix, I try to do a hard drive install
mm-hmm.
and install Debian.
Mm-hmm.
just plain Debian, mm-hmm. and not any Knoppix.
I think that's just pronounced Knoppix. I think the K is silent.
Well, anyway, Knoppix. I'm just going to do it like I said. Anyway, Knoppix. Have you tried a hard drive install recently?
Yeah.
And it installed just plain Debian?
I'm talking about that in a minute.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, now, you've run this wizard. To mount this thing, there's a big old long Linux command. Yay! Big time! It's sudo, S-U-D-O, space, mount, dash, T, space, captive, dash, NTFS. T specifies the file system type, which is captive NTFS. Then you go on to dash O, which, and then space UID equals Knoppix, comma GID equals Knoppix. The dash O UID crap makes Knoppix user and group able to own it. And then you do a space, you say what the drive is, like dash DEV dash HDA1 for your first partition on your A drive, or your first hard drive, excuse me. And then you do a space, and then where you want to mount it. Make sure you have that directory created, like mount slash HDA1, whatever.
Spaz.
Then, to unmount this bastard, you have to unmount it when you're done editing your files on your NTFS partition, so these changes can be synced, or else you can seriously fuck up your computer. It's a sudo space umount space, and then that device.
And you can do all this startup, right? Like,
and you can do all this with a Knoppix CD. You don't have to install anything.
No, I'm talking about mount it and unmount it at startup, and when you turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Groovy,
baby.
And this is a go I think you'll be interested in.
Okay. Is it about porn or donuts?
Ooh, I got a phone call.
From who?
See who's calling. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hey, you're on Infonomicon Radio.
Hi, what's up?
We were just talking about blowjobs.
Blowjobs, really? They can be nice at times, but I'm not a guy, so I wouldn't know.
So what's going on?
Although I've never had any complaints, so.
What's going on?
Not much, what's up with you?
I'm doing a show.
Okay, do you want to let you go?
Yeah, I gotta go. What you up to? How do you pronounce Natchitoches?
Natchitoches?
Okay, just checking. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Anyway.
Who's that?
That was Infonomicon fan.
Infonomicon fan number what?
Number one.
No, we already know who Infonomicon fan number one is.
Yeah. Number two.
Numero two.
Infonomicon fan number 53548. She has her card. Anyway, here's an article you'd be interested in. Disney backs Sony DVD technology. A next-generation DVD technology backed by Sony has received a major boost. Film giant Disney says it will produce its future DVDs using Sony's Blu-ray disc technology, but has not ruled out a rival format developed by Toshiba. Toshiba! The two competing DVD formats, Blu-ray, developed by Sony and others, and Toshiba's HD DVD, has been on courting top film studios for several months. The next generation DVDs promise to be very high quality pictures and sound, as well as a lot of data. Both technologies use a blue laser to write information. It has a shorter wavelength, so more data can be stored. Disney is at the latest studio to announce which technology it is backing in a format battle which mirrors the 1980s Betamax versus VHS war. Remember those wars? It was bloody. I lost my cousin. Sony lost out to VCV, JCV in the fight. The current battle for Hollywood's hearts and minds is a crucial one because high-definition films will bring in millions of revenue and the studios will prefer to use one standard. Last month, Paramount, Universal, and Warner Bros. Said they were opting for the Toshiba and the NEC-backed format, HD DVD, high-definition disc. Those studios currently produce about 45% of the DVD content. Sony Pictures Entertainment and MGM Studios have already staked their alliance with the Blu-ray Disc Association, whose members also include technology companies Dell, Samsung, and Mashut, whatever. 20th Century Fox is still to announce which technology will be supporting. If Fox decides to go with Blu-ray, too, it would mean the format would have a 47% share of the DVD content. Disney said its films would be available on the Blu-ray format when DVD players for the standard went on sale in North America and Japan, expected in 2006.
Excellent.
So, I don't know which format I'm shooting for. I don't have enough, like, data to... Have you read anything about that?
I have not. I don't really care right now.
It doesn't really matter in the long run.
Yeah. Unless I buy the one that loses.
Well, then again, Betamax was higher quality than VHS, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we might lose out. I've seen some movies on Betamax, and they're excellent quality. And I know still some people who have them. And I'm not sure which one's better out there. Just email us or call us on the or ring us up, yo, and tell us about that. Because I don't even know how many gigs can be stored on these discs. I should have looked that up. But I just hope one of them stops. Because I know if they're not decided by 2006, we'll see two formats out there. Betamax version. We'll see the Blu-ray and the HD DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a pain in the fucking ass. And now I have to go buy a DVD player.
That's all right. You need to do that anyway.
No, I pissed
off. All these companies need money. These companies need money, buddy.
I do too, motherfucker.
They're so poor.
Yeah, they're poor my ass. And all I gotta say is, there better be somebody come up with a hack for it so I can go in and watch my region free shit.
Hell yeah.
That's why I bought Apex. Apex sucks ass, but each version has a hack for it so you can watch every region on demand on the fuckers.
Mm-hmm.
But one last Twitch, you know, they, the fucking subtitles come on just like out of the blue. But yeah, I'm all about watching overseas movies and everything, which you can't get in America, which really sucks because, you know, you want a region like a Japan. What's Japan? I don't know, 3, 4, or something like that.
Whatever.
And you can't watch it in your
region
fucking...
Region J.
Yeah, Region J. And you can't watch it on your fucking region USA. I wish they could get rid of that pretty soon. But I don't see that coming because of the whole, like, lawsuits against movies.
The fuck ever. They make enough money as it is. Shut the fuck up.
We need to call Jack Valentin again and talk to him about the region shit.
I thought I did when I called him.
No, you didn't. Did you say anything about regions?
I think so.
Okay, go ahead, man.
I don't know. Let's see. Here's a couple quick little things about Nopix.
The Nopix Show, starring Obfuscated and Droops.
The Nopix Show, number one. If you want to install Nopix, or if you want to install things while you're running Nopix, to install Nopix, it's really easy. The command is Nopix-installer, if you want to install it on your hard drive. But if you want to install something while you're running it off the CD... Nopix has a little thing. It's called the Live Installer. It's knx-live-inst.sh. And it allows you to install things that Nopix doesn't come with without having to use your hard drive. Like if you need a virus scanner like fprot, or if you need to whatever. You can just add stuff to Nopix without having to, as long as you have an internet connection.
You don't install it in your hard drive, right?
No. Installs it in your RAM.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Another thing Nopix does is a lot of really good scanner technology. Like, I have a really shitty old scanner, and the software that came with it was very limited. And, I can take my Nopix CD, plug my scanner in, boot off my Nopix CD, go to K menu, go to graphics, and then go to Kooka, K-O-O-K-A. And it'll list all my scanners. I pick the one that I want to use if I have more than one hooked up. And very, very functional scanner software. It's got an OCR, which is an optical character recognition, so that you can scan books and you don't have to type shit if you're plagiarizing a lot. Or
you must remember this.
Stuff like that.
A kiss is just a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm done with that. Go ahead.
Do you have anything about hard drive installs?
I've actually done a hard drive install, but then I tried to add a user manually, and that didn't really work. So Anopix utility for that that works a lot better.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, is there like any way to get, I don't know, I haven't used a newer version of Canopix yet, to actually install Anopix on your computer? Is
yes,
there just some generic Debian?
There's three installs. There's Idiot Anopix, there's regular Anopix, and then there's Debian.
So you can actually install Anopix as you see it on a live CD on your computer?
Yes.
That is fucking excellent. I'm going to try that out.
All right. Send me $10. I'll send you a Anopix CD.
Yeah. Anyway, what's your favorite file sharing program?
In Windows, it's LimeWire.
No, I'm talking about... Anyway, I'm not going to get it out of you. BitTorrent.
Oh.
Excellent.
Okay,
excellent.
I thought you
meant
like... Never mind.
Yeah. You thought I meant what, son?
BitTorrent's really, really good if you're downloading, like, ISOs of Anopix.
Well, it's a genius-like idea.
But it's really, really, really shitty for downloading TV shows and shit, whatever you download and got in trouble with.
Yes, I got busted. Owned, as they say in the hood.
And it's very easy to see the traffic.
Yes, very. But I thought it was, like, when I first heard about it, that was a genius idea, and I can't believe no one thought of it before this. Well, anyway, what's his name? Bran Cohen didn't set out to upset Hollywood movie studios, but as an innovative online sharing software, BitTorrent has grown into a piracy problem the film industry is struggling to handle.
Oh, as, fuck them.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck them in their ass. As its name suggests, the software lets computer users share large chunks of data, but unlike other popular file sharing programs, the movie people swap data to movie people. I mean, I'm sorry.
Oh,
woo! The more people swap data on BitTorrent, the quicker it flows, and that includes such large files as feature, film, and computer games. I'd have never thought of computer games, but that's what they say. Because of its speed and effectiveness, BitTorrent steadily gained its popularity after the recording industry began cracking down last year on users of Kazaa, Morpheus, and Grokster, and other established file sharing software. The program now accounts for as much as half of online sharing activity, says Andrew Parker, Chief Technology Officer at Britain-based Cache Logic, which monitors such traffic. This will quote, BitTorrent is more of a threat because it is probably the latest and best technological tool for transferring large files like movies, says John Malcolm, Senior Vice President of Anti-Piracy Operations for the Motion Picture Association of America. What a huge fucking title, you prick. It's unusual for perhaps unique in the moment you start downloading, you're also uploading, he said. It's what makes it so efficient. Cohen created BitTorrent in 2001 as a hobby after the dot-com crash left him unemployed. He says the aim was enable the computer users to easily distribute content online, not specifically copyrighted content, you pricks. Mm-hmm. So, quote, it seems pretty clear that a lot of people are actively interested in engaging in wanton piracy. Said Cohen, 29, of Bellevue, Washington. As far as I'm concerned, they're just pushing around bits. And what bits is they're pushing around is not really a concern of mine. That's not much I could do about it. I like this guy. He's just like, fuck you. I don't give a shit. BitTorrent has proven to be resistant to some of the countermeasures the entertainment industry has taken to sabotage file sharing, including a process known as file spoofing, in which incomplete or decoy versions of songs and material are uploaded to discourage piracy, which a few times with songs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Spoofing is very difficult in BitTorrent, if at all possible, said Mark Somewhere, last name, Chief Executive Online Tracking at BTSP Incorporated. There's no defense for this one. Actually, yes, there is, because I got busted. So they're finding some way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're cracking down Kazaa. They already pretty much burned that out. They got the Napster thing all taken care of. And now they're going for BitTorrent.
Mm-hmm.
And you're so fucking uninterested.
No, I'm listening. Of course they're going after BitTorrent. BitTorrent wasn't really invented to download, you know, music, shit like that. Like Napster. That's its whole fucking purpose, was to do music. But it does do it effectively, as long as there's a lot of people wanting to do it at the same time and have those torrents open.
Right, so they crack it down on that too. So yeah. There's nowhere you can hide except IRC. They haven't seemed to go through that yet, though.
Or personal networks. Like, I know you, and you and I can share my content that I have.
Right.
That works really well.
And they haven't seemed to go on IRC, for which is weird, because that's where it originally started at. Mm-hmm. That's where I started downloading shit from, when I first got into the interweb.
The interweb.
Yeah, but they haven't gone against that, so you still got that, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, it's the easiest way to get some virus spread, too. But go ahead, man.
Oh, is it my turn again? All right, here's a couple more easy little commands that are real cool with Linux and Opix. Have you ever wondered what's on your PCI bus on your computer?
Not particularly.
Here's an easy way to tell.
I don't.
Type in this command, ls PCI. Ooh.
Simple.
It'll list all your PCI devices. If you want to find out more information, do a ls PCI and then do a dash V or a dash VV for more verbose information. Or how about, you want to get rid of some shit? Shred it. Do a shred. The default shred is 25, but if you want to change the number, it's a dash N and a space with the number, like 2. I like to leave a dash Z on it, because when it's done shredding, it'll overwrite everything with zeros, and a dash V, which will show your progress.
And this is basically an alternative to just RM, right? Just removing it.
Yeah.
How effective is that? I'm just curious. Does it, can it detect like forensic tools?
Yes, but it makes it a lot harder.
Right.
Let's say that. Just take the thing, smash it a little bit, put it in the microwave, and then throw them in different ponds. You're good.
You think?
Oh, yeah. Who's digging in a pond for a piece of hard drive? Nobody.
I am. I'm desperate. A Canadian man was sentenced to 7 years in a U.S. prison this week after admitting that he led a sophisticated satellite TV piracy ring that produced and sold thousands of hacked smart cards in the U.S. and Canada. Martin Mullen, 50, was also ordered to pay DirecTV and its smart card provider NDS Limited $24 million in restitution. Mullen pled guilty in a federal court in Tampa, Florida last summer to conspiracy to violate anti-piracy laws and to enter in the U.S. illegally after being deported on an unrelated matter earlier this year. According to the court records, Mullen was an expert at cracking security on the smart card DirecTV issues to subscribers to authorize access to television programming. In a normal operation, a subscriber inserts the card into a slot in the DirecTV set-top box. And a satellite signal from the company tells the receiver what channels, if any, the subscriber is allowed to watch based on the unique identification number coded into each card. In this plea agreement with prosecutors, Mullen stipulated to heading a network of over 100 distributors throughout North America that sold thousands of hacked cards, guaranteed free access to all DirecTV channels. This is crazy. 50 years?
Hmm?
50 years.
50 years.
A plea agreement? No, it wasn't 50 years. I'm sorry, 7 years. But he had a plea to get that?
Well, shouldn't be fucking with the television people, it seems, eh?
Hey. But hey. It also seems that I actually know a guy who does this.
Yeah, the guy down the street from me used to do that.
I'm about to fucking report his ass. He pissed me off last week. I'm thinking about calling him in. You know what's even more funny? He's from Iraq.
Ooh. Well, the guy down the street from me actually works for the government, and he does it.
Really?
As in, he's on welfare.
Oh. He's on welfare selling crack smart cards.
He's just drawing.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You want to do a live Infonomicon broadcast when he gets busted?
Yeah, we can do that Infonomicon TV. Okay. Bad boys, what you gonna do? He also can open a beer can with his teeth. And you're saying, well, that's not really that hard, except he uses his teeth like a can opener and just takes the whole top off.
Oh.
It makes my teeth hurt just thinking about it.
Obviously, he has a good dental plan. The government's supplying him with one, at least.
Okay, I'm running out of shit. But I'm going to talk about two sites that I go to a lot and think that people should go to. First one's hackaday.com. They have different hacks. Pretty much every day they try to do something. And one of the latest ones was changing firmware on your iPod so you could change the images, things like that. And it's just neat little hardware shit you can do every day. And another one is geocaching.com. If no one, if you don't know what I do all day, it's that's what I do. You get a GPS. People hide shit. They post the coordinates. You go find it with your GPS.
And you find a bag of dog shit.
And dog shit's involved somehow.
But, I forgot to mention. Last week we mentioned about the turn the NES into a computer.
Yes.
Remember that? Well, somebody obviously has done it already. if you look at the show notes for last week, I put it in the show notes. There's also a Tech TV back when Leo Laporte was still on the screensavers that shows the guy and he opens it up and shows you how it all works and comes together.
Cool.
And what's really interesting, I found that, what was the mini form factor?
Mini ITX.
It fits perfectly in there.
Really?
Really. So it's pretty interesting to watch. Go check the show notes out for episode 22, and it's in there. And there's a junkmachine.com. I don't have the site off the top of my head, but the like the directions are junkmachine.com, which is pretty cool. Here's a pretty cool article, come to think about it. Homebrew iPod at Opens Eyes. A school teacher, George Masters, has the marketing world abuzz with a homemade ad for Apple Computer's iPod that is rapidly growing. To some experts, Masters' ad heralds the future of advertising. Homemade ads will play a big part in marketing, just like blogging is shaking up the news. And now, there's no like talking in the ad, but I'm going to go ahead and post a link of that in the show notes. That ad is really fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. Have you seen this yet?
No.
It's excellent. This guy's got some Premiere skills.
Excellent.
Adobe Premiere.
Do you have Adobe Premiere skills?
Kind of. I don't really.
You got to show me how to use it.
You got to show me how to use it. Well, you turn it on. Hit the play button. Speaking of skills, New Zealand aims to jail upskirt snappers. High-tech peeping toms could be sent to jail under proposals by forwarding by the New Zealand government. Upskirt is?
Yeah.
Basically, pictures of chicks' skirts, up their skirts. It has decided to clamp down on photography and filming, making it an offense to make, publish, and possess so-called upskirt images and other voyeuristic recordings. Wouldn't that be a invasion of privacy anyway?
Yes.
I don't know how it is in New Zealand, but if you start taking pictures of chicks up their skirts, it's kind of not only is that sexual harassment, that's a slew of other laws they can fucking throw at you.
Well, they shouldn't be wearing such revealing clothing, fucking whores.
There goes our female audience.
For some reason, this just came to me. I was listening to radio today, and, like, Mississippi radio is really different. Because, like, they let the most ignorant people come on and just give their opinions, kind of like in Phenomicon. But this lady was just going off about Halloween. Like, it's almost Christmas. And she's like, yeah, I used to go to this church. They had a Christmas, I mean, a Halloween haunted house at the church to raise money. And they were just letting Satan in that way, just letting Satan in the church. I was like, it's almost Christmas, lady.
Letting Satan in the church. He comes in, he makes a beer, and he's talking profanities. He's saying that word clitoris.
I'm just like...
He's saying clitoris, and Cletus got upset. He started piercing it.
Oh, Jesus.
Cletus is the shit. Well, anyway, right. People in New Zealand are getting these cell phones and shooting upskirt shots. I don't know how, if you're a chick, you would not notice some guy with a cell phone sticking a cell phone up your ass. It's like, oh, I filled a cell phone up my ass. What might that be? But, yeah, obviously. Obviously, they don't have no sexual harassment laws, or they wouldn't have to pass this law anyway. Mm-hmm. We got enough laws in America to fucking get you for anything. They could probably arrest us for doing this fucking show.
But we hope they don't.
But yes, if you go to New Zealand, don't shoot up a chick skirt. If you do, mail to Infonomicon.
Yes.
At obfuscated@infonomicon.org.
And droops@infonomicon.org.
Okay, you know how big of a fan AOL you are, right?
I love me some America Online.
Okay, about 750 employees in American Online were laid off Tuesday as a part of its Internet Giants this last Tuesday. Giants' efforts to cut costs and to realign its business units, a company spokesperson confirmed. As previously reported, most of the employees laid off worked at AOL's Duluth, Virginia headquarters, with most departments across the company affected. Today's cuts come after a year after AOL laid off 500 employees, mostly from the company's California offices. The layoffs come in weeks after AOL announced its intention to realign the companies to focus more on its resources on the free web. While the company will continue selling subscriptions for dial-up access and a bring-your-own access product for broadband users, it has formed a new division that will focus on web programming content. The move toward the free web is an attempt by AOL to chase after the reassuring dollars from online advertising as companies such as Google, Microsoft's MSN, and Google continue to profit heavily from commercial search dollars and increasingly displayed advertising. AOL hopes to get a piece of this action.
Oh, Jesus.
It's going to turn into a web browser or a search engine. And that's going to be it. And once dial-up users have got broadband, like people who use broadband.
Do you like that bring your own?
That is, I actually know people that have that.
I know.
I'm like, why are you using that? It's like,
it's $10.
But that's $10 extra. That you're, you know, how much I'll pay Cox? Like $39.95?
You get to get in the AOL chat rooms.
Fuck that.
And they're awesome, man. They're fucking leet. Go to fucking hackers. Oh, man. They're fucking smart in that AOL hacker chat room, man.
Man, I haven't been in AOL chat room since 97.
I used to get on the AOL chat rooms. Because my black and white laptop would only get on AOL. It wouldn't go any farther.
I actually know people that have broadband, but use AOL. I'm like, why are you paying the extra cash? There's no reason to. Anyway, basically AOL is only going to become a browser. Because everybody's going to get rid of them. Everybody's going to get rid of their dial-up, and everybody's going to get tired of paying them for getting something they're already getting with fucking broadband, cable, or DSL.
Well, old people don't realize that.
Right, but it's going to be faded out. Old people are going to die, and AOL is going to stop providing dial-up service because it's going to become pointless.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you know, we're going to be, like, in the next 5 or 6 years, we're going to be using fiber, and everybody's going to be talking about, oh my God, dude, you're still using fucking DSL. What's wrong with you? You must live in the sticks.
You must live in the sticks, that DSL.
And basically that, speaking of companies that, IBM just sold their company to, is it Chinese?
Desktop laptop business, the PC business.
Right, the PC business to a Chinese company. And you had a story about that, didn't you?
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's something we talked about yesterday, isn't it? IBM makes ThinkPad laptops. I have one. I love it. I called them up the other day because our new dog chewed up the power supply for the little laptop. And it's not like the cord that goes from it to the wall. It's the cord that goes from it to the laptop. So you have to get the whole one piece. And those things are like $200 if you buy one for like if you lose your HP one or whatever the fuck. I called up IBM wanting to buy one, and it was a Sunday night. Tuesday morning, it was a brand new one at my front door for free because IBM is really, really, really nice.
At least they were nice.
But I was talking to the lady, and I asked her where she was at, and she was in Georgia, and it had been raining. And when I was about to finish, I said, well, it sucks that, you know, IBM's talking about selling, you know, that business to some people in China. You know, what's going to happen? And she's like, yeah, I read about that, but they haven't told us anything about it at work. And I was like, oh, fuck.
She was walking one day, and her desk is cleaned up.
Everything's gone. Everything's written in Chinese. They're marching. But actually, there's a guy that's been with IBM for like 24 or 28 years that's going over there to, what's it called? Levenco or something?
I don't know.
Anyway, it's a Chinese company. And why is IBM getting rid of this? Well, they're getting rid of it because it's not profitable. Why would you want to go into a not profitable business? Well, I don't know. The company they sold it to isn't a world player. It's a Chinese player. They're used to selling to people in China, not selling to people in Europe and America and whatever else, like IBM is doing now. And there's just been a history of companies like this, like Acer, Packard Bell. Somebody bought out Texas Instruments. They got out of the United States. Somebody bought Packard Bell. Couldn't do business in the United States. And it's really hard. Hopefully, they'll be able to keep the ThinkPad name and keep making such a strong product like the ThinkPad.
Yeah, but still, do you think the hardware is going to be just as good?
Well, IBM doesn't make the hardware in the first place.
True, but you think they could still be using the same people?
I don't know. It didn't say. I hope, because I really like my ThinkPad, and I'd like
those things last forever.
Yeah. Oh, I've dropped the fucker. Like, it's a rugged motherfucker.
So if you're going to go out and buy a laptop, get a used – because we don't know how it's going to be for IBM now, but get a used ThinkPad.
Yeah.
Not a new one just yet.
You can get a new one.
Who knows?
Whatever. And that's all I got.
I also heard recently that if you place your laptop too close to your lap, like if you hold it for a long time, you know how to heat up a little bit.
Yeah.
You can become impotent.
That's awesome. You save money on rubbers. Or prophylactics, as the smart people call them.
So if you're looking to have a if you're looking to use a desk, a computer, a laptop, you need a luggable, like Droops's.
Yeah, I got a luggable.
What's that thing you're going to call it again?
What?
What's it called again?
It's a luggable computer?
No, what was it, who was it made by?
Oh, fuck. Who was that bastard made by? I can't see it from here.
It wasn't Compaq. It's Compaq made one.
Well, Compaq made one. IBM made one. Well, Compaq, you know, one of them, somebody cloned somebody. I don't remember.
But they're all cloned.
Commodore made one. Anyway, mine, I think, was made by a company that didn't put their brand on it and then sold it to a company that put their brand on it. Because I looked up this company's name, and they never made computers.
Anyway, man, we're going to go on the list of the week.
Okay.
Okay, and the site of the week is a site I thought was pretty funny. Go check it out. YTMND.com. It's YTMND.com. MND.com. If you want, you know, of course, you can go to the website, Infonomicon.org, and check out our show notes, and it'll be there.
Hell yeah.
Under episodes. And the word of the week is going to be Compton Cleanup. You know what that means?
I do. You should play a little audio for everybody.
Okay, yeah. We actually recorded this last night. Call my boss up, and he'll tell you what it's about. Can you everybody hear that?
Yes, sir.
What's up, man?
Hey, Dave.
What's up?
Okay, you're on Infonomicon Radio. Okay, the word of the week is Compton Cleanup.
Compton Cleanup?
Yeah, tell us what that is. Explain what that is.
Compton Cleanup is when you're having sex and you're with a girl from behind and you give her the classic donkey punch. And when she's unconscious, you take all of her goods and whatever she has of value in her house. That's the Compton Cleanup.
Does that work?
Classic. Try it. Everybody try that at home.
Are we still going to Waffle House?
Yeah, but we're back up on plans a little bit.
Well, what happened?
Because Matt's coming in here in a minute, so.
Shit.
I'll call you back, though. I'll let you know.
Okay, man. Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Late. And that's a Compton Cleanup. Classic donkey punch.
Classic, man.
Okay, man. Okay, you want to, okay, what else we got? Okay, if you want to email us, of course, that's obfuscated at infonomicon.org, and you are?
Droops at infonomicon.org. I'm sorry I'm so fucking tired, but, like, I'm about to fall asleep sitting here.
And, of course, it's infonomicon.org, and our phone number is 237-1628.
Or 225,
Yeah, whatever. Shut the fuck up. Of course, man, and, okay, and our closing music is going to be by a band called the Anti-Nowhere League. The song's called So What, and it's dedicated to a lot of people.
Hell yeah.
Okay, man. And I've been Obfuscated.
And I've been Droops.
And we're Mickey Finn.
So fucking what?
Who cares what you do?